The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So, Donald, I may have indulged a bit too much. My energy's been lagging. My belt is definitely on its last notch from all of the eating.
Well, the holidays can do that to you, buddy. It makes you reach for quick fixes that have rough and lasting effects on your gut. Good thing we have GT Synergy Raw Kombucha to get your gut back on track.
That's right. It's those billions of probiotics that whip the gut back into balance. And those are naturally occurring probiotics, not the added fake kind.
Drink GT Synergy to show your gut that you love them. Better health is as simple as making a few small changes, and incorporating GTs is an easy one.
You can learn more about GTs at gtslivingfoods.com/loveyourguts and pick up a bottle at your local grocery store in the refrigerated section.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
It's hour two of Fantasy Sports today. Craig Mish and Joe Pizzapia. The professor is in the house, Joey P. Also, we'll have a Thursday night NFL preview, some props as well. Joe has his 10 things he hates about fantasy football, and if you've been playing fantasy football for the last 20 years, you'll want to stay tuned because we got some of the epic busts of all time. Fantasy Sports Today, Hour 2, starts now.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Toward the end zone, it is caught! Seattle's going to the Super Bowl!
Fires up the middle, pass is caught by Owens. Owens made the catch.
Pass is caught. Diggs, sideline, touchdown. Unbelievable. Toss to White. He's in. Patriots win the Super Bowl.
And welcome back. It is hour number two of Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, along with Joe Pizzapia, with you here on the show. Joe and I here every Monday through Thursday from noon to 2 Eastern, and then we turn it over to our friends at Full Time Fantasy, Adam Rodas and Dr. Roto. Sean Guastamacchi is producing the show today, as always. And it is time to go back to school a little bit, Joe. It's time to take a visit with Professor Joe Pizzapia. I know normally we do this a little bit later in the show, but we have so much to get to here on this Thursday. We needed a visit from the teacher. We've already had one from the Gridiron Scholar. And now it's time to get one from you, Joe Pizzapia. Let's let you take it away here. We're looking for lesson number one of three lessons on our show today. Joe, take it away.
Education is the most important thing, Craig Mish. When all is said and done, without education, without knowledge, where are we? We are nowhere. But luckily, we are here to drop some knowledge on you. And the first bit of knowledge I'd like to drop on you is where you're at in the season. You're heading into week 7. I always like to do these kind of things based on record. And I have one of my teams is struggling right now. One of my better players is Travis Kelce. And you know what? I look at the rest of my team. It's not a great team. I got a trade offer that had Brandon Cooks, Devin Singletary, and a third piece in there too, because it's an IDP league. for Travis Kelce. Oh, and Delanie Walker. That was the other piece in there too. So basically somebody offered me a big bulk trade for my best player. And you know what? If I'm 2-4 with Travis Kelce, what's the point? Clearly, I have more holes on this team of people who are not performing, and I need to take some shots, and I need more bodies to get more points. Because as talented as Travis Kelce is, sometimes you have to look at a roster that's not performing and say, hey, this guy's really good, but you know what? I need more guys to produce, to pull me up, to raise that bar of productivity and take me over that threshold. So, Craig Mish, I think it's okay to take your top guys and start moving them when you're 2-4.
Yeah, I think so. Look, you have to when you're 2-4, unless you have a lot of points and you're playing in that format. I think you have to start looking at that. And so, look, I agree with you. It also depends on who those players are. The other interesting thing that I would like to throw in this lesson is it is not a bad idea to take a look at who has bye weeks coming up. And if you have a couple of those guys, one game could mean a lot in fantasy. So look at talent, but also look at who you have that may not be able to play next week.
Absolutely.
Week after that. And get yourself an extra game out of a player if you can, with a player that already has had a bye week. Another interesting way to go about it. Okay, let's get to lesson number two.
You got a bonus lesson there, everybody, from Craig Mish. I hope you were taking notes.
How about that?
Bonus lessons. Look at that. Extra credit. Craig Mish, look at it. Johnny on the spot. But you're absolutely right. Looking ahead to bye weeks and realizing you're fighting for your life every week, you need bodies. You need guys who are playing, guys who are healthy right now. You can't always wait for guys to get healthy on a roster that's underperforming. And sometimes you got to make those tough decisions. Lesson number two. Go back. Look at the original ADP coming into this year and realize that you can crumple that up and throw it out the window, because once we're in the season, all these things change in terms of who's the best overall. However, it doesn't mean that there isn't talent there. And when you look at the ADP and you see where guys were valued, it's a reminder of how good certain players are. And then go and evaluate, why aren't those players playing well? Are they without their starting quarterback? Are they a team that has a lot of injuries to the offensive line? What are the reasons why those assets are underperforming? And if you see those situations getting better, be aggressive and start buying those players on the cheap. It's always the players with proven talent you want to acquire. Don't always take chances on the guys that are overperforming. Go look for the guys that are underperforming and remind yourself that, hey, this guy's a really good football player. He's had some issues, whether it be injury, whether it be surrounding supporting cast. Is that a situation that I think is going to improve in the second half? If the answer is yes, or if the answer is maybe these stats are just fluky, like DeAndre Hopkins, perhaps, where things just have not broken his way, you have to be aggressive and make those kind of changes. So that's lesson number two. Go out there and go backwards. Remind yourself of how good certain players are and go find those guys that are available in your league and pluck them off other rosters if you can.
Yeah. And this is, and look, this week and next week, this is it basically. Like, I mean, these kind of making trades and looking at undervalued players. Like, well, once you get past 50% of the season, you're not doing that. I mean, and players start checking out, by the way, in fantasy too. And it's also unethical to look at a guy's team that's 1-5 or 0-6 and start trying to pluck his best players. That's another key thing in a fantasy league you got to keep in mind. It's sometimes better if it's a non-dynasty league to just let that guy die on that hill, as opposed to having questions come up about collusion and why would an 0-6 team be making a trade at that stage? Got to be careful of those sort of things. All right, final one here. By the way, this player in your, ironically, this player that we're going to talk about is somebody I just traded for in a dynasty league. So let's go.
Well, in dynasty, that's a different situation. But I was
listen, I don't like this guy at all coming up, but I'm just...
No, if he's somewhere else next year, maybe you like the ability. God knows he had a good college career, right?
He had a great college career, but
it wasn't like he couldn't catch the football.
The only thing that... Okay, it's O.J. Howard that we're going to talk about.
Well, it's O.J. Howard as an example, but yes, number
three... The only thing that I could say, by the way, about O.J. Howard in closing is that this goes back to that... Again, I'm not... Look, Bruce Arians is not changing Jameis Winston. That's never going to happen.
Nope.
People thought maybe that was going to happen at the beginning of the season. But the other thing that in the Bruce Arians offense is specific to Howard, and then I'll let you go on your little rant here, is that Arians just hasn't been a tight end guy, man.
Nope.
He really has not. And so I think that's a part of it, too. I don't know if Howard's going to be back with them or not, but go ahead and get into it. Sorry.
No, you're absolutely right. And I thought that maybe part of the reason he wasn't a tight end guy because he never had a tight end like O.J. Howard, which I think was also a fair assessment of saying, hey, it's kind of like the same thing with Adam Gase. Well, Adam Gase doesn't like to run the football, blah, blah, blah. Well, he's never had Le'Veon Bell. So if you ever had a weapon like Le'Veon Bell, sometimes you don't get to run the football as much as you want to. But O.J. Howard is the example of this next thing, which is it's okay to cut players that have completely let you down 100%. I understand that, like you're saying, O.J. Howard, we're talking about him earlier in the season. There were a lot of reasons to be optimistic, but at a certain point, you have to be realistic. And at a certain point, you have to say, are there pieces on the waiver wire that can help me Am I better off plucking Kyle Rudolph and getting his crappy points as opposed to OJ Howard getting me nothing? Yeah, you might be. And, you know, I know a lot of people will say, oh, you know, I was really high on Nyheim Hines, or I was really high on Ito Smith this year, all these things. But look, we are 6 weeks into the season already, coming up on seven. It's okay to look back and say, you know what? This was a shot that I took, and maybe it was an educated guess. Maybe everything, every piece of homework you did on it was right, but it didn't work out. You got to cut bait. There's got to be pieces out there that can help you, and you got to stop running guys out there that were not your first, second round picks necessarily that have been failures. You have to cut bait and be okay with it and realize it just didn't work out. Don't let your ego get in the way of your win total.
Good stuff from Joe Pisapia with you here on the show. Professor Pisapia's class is now over. Please make sure that you put your textbook back where they are supposed to be. And
they don't even have textbooks anymore. Everything's computers now.
Is that right? Oh, my gosh.
Everything. Put your tablets back. Don't your kids have tablets now? I feel like all my kids have tablets in their school.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Yeah. Put your tablets down. Oh, God. What's our world?
Scary. All right, coming up next, it's time for a Thursday night preview in fantasy football. We've got the Chiefs at the Broncos. And is this going to be a good game tonight? Look, it certainly is trending toward that direction. Also, the latest updates, injuries around the league, we'll give those to you as well. Before we take a quick time out, I want to remind you, for those of you who are listening to the show live on the FNTSY app or the iHeartRadio or TuneIn app, you can also listen to the show on demand 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, just by listening to us as a podcast. We post this audio all over the internet, including audioboom.com, a great website that houses it, in addition to the app called Stitcher. It's available as well. iTunes and Android, all you have to do is like and subscribe to the show. If you wouldn't mind, give us 5 stars. Tell us what you think about the show, what we're doing well, what you would like to hear in the future, what in the present or even in the past. Any comments you would like to make, let us know. And also, you can let us know on social media at Craig Mish, at Joe Pisapia 17. Best ways to listen to this show, again, either live or on demand, the various apps wherever you listen to a podcast. Joe and I will be right back with a Thursday night NFL preview. Don't go away.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
What's up? I'm Laura Carenti.
And I'm Alexa Kristen. We're the co-hosts of Adlandia, the advertising industry's most thought-provoking podcast.
We are here with Lisa Bradner, GM of Analytics, and Teddy Jaudi, Head of Product from Yieldmo.
So we're here to talk with Lisa and Teddy about making attention actionable. Let's start from the top. What is Yieldmo?
Yieldmo is a next-generation marketplace powered by attention analytics, superior formats, and real-time data. We were really trying to say, how do we connect this ecosystem and make everything flow? I like to step back and say, all right, great, we've built the infrastructure, but let's talk about what we're putting through those pipes.
That's what we try to do at Yieldmo. Is we try to, you know, there's great technology out there. You can buy ads and serve them anywhere, but what is actually making an impact? And we focus on trying to allow marketers to see that.
Always have to be listening for that surprise signal that signals an opportunity you may not be thinking about. And our agile data structure allows our brands to work with us to do just that.
Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Adlandia Podcast and listen to Adlandia on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering 5 of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/best bets.
Fantasy Sports Today.
And I like football. And I'm going to keep doing them both because they make me feel good.
It is Thursday night. It is Little League night for me. It is also NFL night for me. Last week, interesting game between the Giants and Patriots, as the Giants looked like they were going to, probably not win, but at least cover that thing. And then, of course, the Patriots did what they did, and then they ended up punching the Giants in the mouth. Speaking of which, Thursday night has been a devil to Joe Pizzapia. It really has.
That's not why that I don't do Friday's show.
Not that it has been any better to me, but it has really not been good to you. So the Chiefs tonight are at the Broncos. This line opened up at 4.5 or 5, and all of the money is coming in on Denver. So whether that's the public money or the sharp money, you never really know. I watched that Chiefs game last week and thought that was the worst defense I've seen in the NFL this season. Now, again, Atlanta's giving them a run for their money, but I thought the Chiefs were flat out awful defensively. They're on a short week and they are at Denver, another team that I think that has no hope for the season, but they certainly play good defense and try and run the ball. Thursday night home dogs have been great. Thursday home teams in the NFL in general have been great. But it is the Chiefs. It is your guy, Patrick Mahomes, tonight, Joe. Let the people know, who's the winner tonight? Chiefs -3 at the Broncos. Eventually, it's got to come through. I have a feeling this. Well, you actually did 2 weeks ago. You got the Rams on the +1.5. So give me tonight's winner. Chiefs -3 at Denver.
In case you couldn't tell from the tone of voice Craig Mish is using, this is his favorite segment of the week. This is the segment where I have to wear protective gear. I wear a cup. I wear headgear, the whole thing, because it's brutal. Craig basically ties me up and just punches me.
7 weeks,
for
Joe. Come on. you got to come through.
Am I 5-1? Is that what I am after the – I mean, 1-5, rather? Is that what I am? Yeah. I'd have to go back. I don't even remember.
And you didn't even want to give yourself a win for that Rams.
I didn't. I'm over as far as I'm concerned.
We're against the spread. That was a win.
All right.
You wanted to punch yourself in the face after not taking your own Patriots last week.
It was looking pretty good there for a while.
You know what else looks pretty good? Nothing at the window when you don't cash. I'll rip up my, you know, my ticket for the Cardinals win the World Series looked pretty good a week ago.
If Craig could, he would rip up that and just throw it in my face.
I'm doing it Friday night on the live stream with Howard. I promised I would rip it.
You're going to rip it up and throw it in his face?
I'm just going to rip it up on the air. I promised I would do it. Wait one more game to see them get swept. You don't dodge the question.
Not dodging the question.
Chiefs -3 at the Broncos.
I am going to take the Chiefs.
There it is.
Patrick Mahomes finds a way to get it done because that's what great players do. Back is against the wall. You're right. Home team, usually they should win. Denver's a tough place. Everything logically tells you to take the Broncos. So I'm going to stop using logic on Thursday night. Okay. I'm going to take logic. I'm going to kick it in the nuts and kick it to the curb. And I'm going to throw it out the window. And I'm going to go with the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes on the short week, basically being embarrassed and trying to find a little bit of pride this week. Because I'll tell you what, if the Chiefs lose this game, this is another team like the Rams where we could look up. They could have 10 wins and not be a playoff team. Okay? It could happen.
I don't even know that either team will get to 10 wins based on what I saw last week. But okay, so we got
that
you
West
down.
Is not good, is
Chiefs
it?
-3.
You got Chargers, the Chiefs, the Broncos, and the freaking Raiders. All of a sudden, I want the Raiders to win. I want the Raiders to win this division. I'm rooting for John Gruden and that young team.
Oh, it is brutal, no doubt. I'll go under 48.5 tonight. That'll be the pick. That'll pick I'll use. I mean, Denver just.
I'll go under because I don't want to. I'll take the under with you, but what's your pick for you? You're going with the Broncos, I assume, right?
No, I'll just go with the under. That's it.
Oh, that's it. You're just going to leave me out to dry by myself. Okay.
If I had to take a side, it would be Denver. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good.
And based on what I saw last week,
I'm going to call into the show tomorrow if the Chiefs win.
Craig, I told you I'm 2-5 on the year.
2-5, baby. Woo.
Hey, all man. Right, so we've done better with these, though. These are the player props. Let's go through them. Patrick Mahomes, passing yards, over under 309.5.
Over, because he refuses to, because running the football hasn't worked out for them very well.
I don't know why they are not running at all. That doesn't.
You know what?
I'm
going to reiterate it today. Go get LeSean McCoy, because if you go back and you realize, okay, what were we doing right? What was working for us? it was giving LeSean McCoy 15 carries and like 10 to 15 carries.
What about Damian Williams? Just try with him.
Forget, don't you think if they could, they would? He stinks. He's the worst. He's the absolute worst. Even
give him 5 carries just to see.
I don't know. It's just brutal. I
they,
know.
They ran with this. I'm not saying he's great, but at this stage of the game, with after the way you play, I mean, I would think that the idea would sitting in a coaching room would be let's try and keep our defense off the field as long as we can, and that would require.
Now that Tyreek Hill is back, last week was tough. That was a tough matchup.
Tough.
Okay.
They were terrible last week.
But I'm saying the Texans are also a decent football team, and Deshaun Watson on the other side is more than capable. Tyreek Hill being back in this offense, in your opinion,
this week, both the Rams and the Chiefs, let's use them as an example. Chiefs lose to the Broncos, you think they're done, correct?
Chiefs lose to the Broncos, they're not done because that division is still winnable.
But they're not winning anything significant, right?
I don't think they're a team that you're worried about getting to the Super Bowl, no. I think they're the same thing with the Rams
this week at the Falcons. If they lose to the Falcons, you're off on the Rams.
I'm already off the Rams, even if they beat the Falcons, because okay. I think the Seahawks are a better football team. And I think the 49ers might be a better football team, at least defensively.
They crushed them.
Well, look, let's not start writing love letters, okay? Because if they go out there and they lay a turd in Washington, everybody's going to all of a sudden, you know, oh my God, how could they lose to Washington or whatever? It's the NFL. Let's not anoint Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers quite yet. They played Baker Mayfield. They played a bunch of stiff teams. Yeah, they beat the Rams, but who are the good teams?
Who are the good teams in the NFL?
The Seahawks, okay. The Saints, the Bears, I think defensively are a very good team.
You gave yourself a qualifier there.
I did. All right, so I'll say the Patriots are a good team, the Seahawks are a good team, the Saints are a good team. So
right.
Start beating those teams.
In the entire NFL.
That I could say are really good. Yeah. Like really good.
I know. That's the point. Is they crap say, because I'll everybody's
think,
crap.
I think the Lions are a good football team. I'll take. I don't care.
Yeah. All right. Flacco, 246.5. Over under.
Under.
All right. Lindsay, 70.5.
Whatever it is. Over. Over and for Lindsay.
And Freeman's 53.5.
Under.
Deron Freeman, huh?
I'm not gonna overreact to this. No, Lindsay's been really good. And Lindsay's the guy that I think can do more against that Chiefs.
Well, the good thing is you'll know right away, because if the game is close, he's going way over. And if the Chiefs are up 14-3, he's going under.
Give me the under on Freeman, the over on Lindsay. Boom.
How about McCoy? 40.
Over. Over. Get 41. Woo!
41 yards. Joe sticking his neck out there on the 41.
Sticking out one, I just need 41. Come on, LeSean, do it. 41.
You can't go under on this total if you're going every over on every one of these props. Sutton, 69.5.
I'm going to go under on that one. I think they'll struggle a little bit here.
Tyreek Hill, 75.5.
That's a good.
I like over on McCoy too. I'm gonna go over on that.
I'm gonna take over on Hill, but under on Kelsey. I'm gonna call the Tyreek Hill game because I think that's the guy that gives them fits.
They're good defense, Denver. I'm gonna go under on both guys on Kansas City.
They are, but I think Tyreek Hill is just it's just very difficult. And Tyreek Hill
that was the best catch.
Whenever you take the under on Tyreek Hill, you have to really be concerned with that, because that's a guy who touches the ball one time and obliterates numbers like that. So
okay, Hill was 75.5, Kelsey 76.5. You're going over Hill, under Kelsey. I'll go under both. Emmanuel Sanders total receptions in the game, it is 3.5. The over is minus 164, so you have to risk 164 to win 100. The under would be risking 100 to win $128. Emmanuel Sanders over under 3.5.
I think he'll go over. I think he'll have 5 catches in this game.
Okay, and then the final one that we'll do as we're running out of time is Patrick Mahomes pass attempts 38.5.
Pass attempts? I'm going to go under. Not much, but I do think it's under.
Me too. I'm going to go under.
I think they're going to go a little bit. You're going to see a little bit more LeSean in this game, I think, today. A little bit more balance tonight.
All right, we'll take a short time out. We'll come back with 10 things that Joe hates about fantasy football, week 7. Don't go away.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Hi, this is Bowen Yang here, and if you're as excited as I am about the upcoming fourth season of Search Party on HBO Max, then you'll want to tune in to Search Party, the podcast. I'm sitting down with the creators and stars of the dark comedy to delve deeper into the disturbing world inhabited by Dory, Drew, Elliot, and Portia. And to help us discuss Search Party's most prominent themes, we're inviting a very special celebrity fan to join each chat. Folks like Paul Scheer, Vanessa Bayer, Busy Phillips, Taryn Killam, and Carrie Brownstein, among many others. I couldn't be more excited to talk with these folks about one of my favorite shows on TV. So join us as we review classic moments, share behind-the-scenes anecdotes, and analyze the complex characters and unpredictable plot lines that make the series oh so much fun. Search Party Season 4 comes to HBO Max on January 14th. Meanwhile, be sure to subscribe to Search Party, the podcast, which premieres December 14th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
These days, it feels like we're on 24/7. Between work, friends, family, and a million things piling up left and right, the nonstop hustle has taken over. And it's kind of a lot. Sure, Rise and Grind is all fine and dandy, but sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's literally made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as refreshing and crisp as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. You know it's time to chill when the mountains on the cans and bottles turn blue. So when you want to hit reset, reach for Coors Light, the only beer that is mountain cold refreshment, made to chill. Don't feel like running to the store? Get Coors Light in their new look, delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado encourages you to celebrate responsibly.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
I hate you. I don't even know you. And I hate your guts.
Fantasy Sports Today presents 10 Things We Hate.
With NBA season just around the corner, you can become Daily Roto's 8th Daily Fantasy Millionaire. Dunk on your NBA DFS competition and dominate. On FanDuel and DraftKings this season, compete with the pros. DailyRoto.com's optimizer and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with the promo code DUNK. That's DUNK, D-U-N-K. You know how to spell that. DailyRoto.com/DUNK to learn more. That's DailyRoto.com/DUNK to earn 10% off now. DailyRoto.com, where millionaires are made. Well, Joe Pisapia over at Fantrax makes millions each and every week for doing his column called 10 Things That He Hates About Fantasy Football. And here we go with week 7. So it is a Thursday edition of the show. We like to get Joe's opinions on things that he hates. We'll see what he's got for this week, and then I'll give you my thoughts on them as well. Joe, let's get started with the first thing that you hate about fantasy football.
Anger is good. Anger is healthy. Anger is what keeps some of us alive. And I think during the fantasy football season, it's good to have an outlet for your rage. So every week, I do this little column here where it's fun. It's a fun thing where I put some fantasy football knowledge in there and make some commentaries and give you some stats. But at the same time, it's entertainment. Fantasy sports is sports entertainment. That's what I live to do. And here we go. The number one thing I hate, and we'll see if it changes tonight, is the Chiefs just won't run the football. Either they can't or they won't. I don't know what the hell is going on here, but I am of the sneaking suspicion that it's time to get back to LeSean McCoy a little bit. Okay, it's great that you got everybody named D. Williams out there, Darrell Williams, Damian Williams, all kinds of Williams. I feel like that Jay Cutler meme where he's like smoking the cigarette and he doesn't care about anything, and they're like, whatever Williams, him, you know, any Williams, Serena Williams, Venus Williams, doesn't matter. All I know is they don't run the football, and they need to. As great as Patrick Mahomes is, and he is, you need to find a little bit more balance in the offense or you become predictable. And ask Kirk Cousins what happens when your offense becomes predictable. Bad things happen. So that is number one. Number two, Jared Goff is a roller coaster. 1 week he's throwing 500 yards, the next week it's 70-something, and that is completely unacceptable, especially at home where Jared Goff supposedly, well, all the stat nerds tell you, that's where he does his best work. Well, not so much last week. Now, I'm of the mind you could throw that out the window. So, Craig, I'm going to ask you, give me a number of passing yards, give me a line for Jared Goff against the Falcons this week. Come on, baby.
I'm just so stunned from last week. I don't know what to say.
I know, but I think you got to just get right back, dust yourself off.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what. I wish I knew what his prop line was. I should have looked at that.
It's going the in. Falcons. You don't need a prop. You just got to think about the Falcons.
I'll go 271.
That's a good number. I like the 271. How many touchdowns we got here? Two, three? Come on. Jared Goff.
One touchdown.
One touchdown. Boo. Yeah. Oh, come on.
I can't go all in on that guy after seeing that game last week.
No, it's the Falcons. You don't have to go in on Goff. You just have to go in on how bad the Falcons are. Number three, as Craig said earlier, and this was number three on the list this week, Bruce Arians can't save Jameis Winston. I was hopeful that he could. You know, Bruce Arians is a guy that I just personally like a lot. And maybe I was drinking the Kool-Aid, maybe as a member of the good-looking bald men club that Bruce and I are part of. I just wanted to support him deep down inside. But facts are facts. And Jameis Winston is a project that at this point in time is, I think we can call a failure as a project. I'm ready to do it. I'm finally throwing in the towel. I know Craig threw it in years ago, so I'm not even going to ask him about it.
No, I didn't throw it in years ago. I just, before the season when we were going through this,
I was optimistic before the season started. Now, yeah, I don't own any shares, but I was optimistic enough to buy.
Oh, Sean, our producer, was just. Oh,
I know. God, is he a Bucks fan? Is Sean a Bucks fan?
No, he just really. He must have drafted him everywhere. And then as a loser, what you do is you can't admit defeat and you just keep making excuses, which is what Sean did with him specifically. And by the way, like, look, at some point, you know, you got to just take an L on things. And I mean. And you didn't have to take your L on Winston until last week. I don't think you did.
Because I don't think you did.
He was still a little bit up and down, but there is no coming back from that week.
Nope. Like, it's done. I agree.
Three fumbles. I mean,
nope. That's done. That's no. Can't turn the ball over eight times and still be an NFL quarterback. The fact that he even comes out of the bye with that job is stunning.
That shows you that no matter what Arian says to this dude, he ain't listening. That's what you know.
Exactly. All right. Number four on this list is the book may be out on Gardner Minshew. And I say that with a bit of a grain of salt. But if people look, and what happens in the NFL is when someone stops something that's really working, everybody looks at it and goes, okay, what did they do? And they just copy it. It's not nearly as interesting a league as you might think it is deep down. It's pretty boring in certain senses that people really are not that imaginative. So the one thing in Minshew's favor is I don't think the Bengals can do much of anything. But going forward for the next couple of weeks, at least, if people keep referring back to the Saints game and how they attacked Gardner Minshew and that offense, I'm a little concerned there. I'm concerned for our money. We'll see what happens. I don't think it happens this week, but I am concerned. I'm also concerned about Keenan Allen. Since Melvin Gordon's come back, here are the game totals. 5 catches for 48,
what 4
for
18. What does this have to do with Gordon, though?
What's that? Coincidence? I don't know. What does it have to do with Gordon?
I think it's a coincidence.
I don't know, but it's a weird coincidence, isn't it? 5 for 48, 4 for 18, 2 for 33, no touchdowns, 3 weeks. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if they're just off kilter or whatever it is. The targets are down. Everything's down. I'm down on Keenan Allen. You're not. You think
I'm just
fine.
So surprised that you would do that with him. I don't know why. I mean,
I'm just mad he's disappeared.
You played fantasy football with Keenan Allen in the last decade, man.
Hold on. What have I said? I said Keenan Allen has disappeared. It makes me mad. I'm not saying he's gone forever. I'm just mad that Melvin Gordon came back and now I can't find my Keenan Allen. Yeah, it's like I got one piece back and now I lost the other one.
Look, Keenan Allen is going to win somebody a championship just like he does every year. But he'll also the next week lose you the championship. He will have in week 14, 15 or 16, a monster game and get you to the next round. And then he'll kill you the following week. That's it.
I'm going to drop a metaphor on you. Okay. Or a simile, I guess. Sure. At the very least, the Chargers are like a Rubik's cube. Every time you get one side, right. You're like, okay, I got that side. And then you go to turn the other side and it completely doesn't make sense to you.
They're very hard to figure. And by the way, in a good way, like Tennessee in a bad way, you can't figure because they're just terrible. The Chargers have the talent. And by the way, this is why at the beginning of the season, I said you cannot trust that dude, Mike Williams. It's the same exact reason. The
health has been a problem. I mean, you can't get on the field. How can you trust anybody you can't show up for work? You know?
But again, a problem that's unowned in any fantasy league.
Nobody and I own a ton of shares because of the upside and the ADP.
And there still is upside, and he'll end up winning a week for you. But it's the Chargers, and that's the risky run. But by the way, a very worthy risk to take all the Chargers because at some point they're going to win a week and they could win a league. And that's
Difference between the Damian Williams second round risk and the Mike Williams sixth round risk. You know, it's a totally or seventh round risk, a totally different set of risks that you're willing to take on a guy who could, you know, had 10 touchdowns last year. So even if he wasn't a guy you can rely on in terms of floor of targets or catches or whatever you want to call it, give me the touchdowns. Give me the touchdowns, because that's the difference maker in a lot of leagues every week. All right. The next one is Aaron Rodgers hates his teammates. And that means you should probably hate them, too, because if he doesn't like anybody he's throwing the ball to, I don't know how he can have any confidence. I know Craig's got his guy. He's going to go by the jersey this weekend when he has 8 catches for 100 yards.
I'm telling you, man.
Can you print out a Lazard jersey? Can you do it? I hope he does. I want him to succeed.
I don't have him in any. I didn't get him. I bid on him in every single league and got him in none.
Yeah, I'm going to let him walk and see what happens. I'm just
too late for that.
No, I did. I'm saying, I let him walk.
He has a great week. It's over.
I let him walk. Amari Cooper's hurt. You know, just when I thought it was safe to say good things about Amari Cooper, we sat here on this very show last week. We're talking about, man, that Amari Cooper. Boy, oh boy, he's really good at football. And then what happened? Now he's hurt. Now he's not playing again. So I know it's a different reason. It's not bad play. It's no play. But are you concerned now, rest of season, with Amari Cooper, or do you think this is just a bad hiccup in the middle of the season?
I mean, I don't know how serious the injury is. If it's not serious, I'm not worried at all. And he'll be, I mean, there's a chance he'll end up being the one in fantasy football that is my biggest regret that I never, that I had no shares of, because he was staring at my face on the draft board several times and I passed.
Did he punch you in it afterwards like that guy did?
Yeah. So I guess, Joe, my short answer is I'm not worried at all, but there is a longer answer, which is, of course, if there's an injury, then that would play into what I thought would have happened at the beginning of the season, because there have been some issues with him, but I'm not willing to go that route yet. I give him a lot of credit for what he has achieved so far this year.
No, he's been excellent. All right, number 8, Will Disley's done for the year. Oh, tight end has been rough. Can we all just agree? Can we all, you know, I know we're a polarized nation, but I think the one thing that brings us together is the tight end's been rough. I mean, Kittle's playing better now. That's great. Kelsey's been good. Ertz has been good. But I don't feel like anybody's been just outstanding. Oh, my God, this guy's winning me weeks. And maybe that'll change in the second half.
Well, there's been one, guy. I thought you brought him up here.
Mark Andrews. Well, but yeah, even Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews has had the best return on investment. But he's not like, if you ask me right now, would I rather start Kelsey or Andrews? I'd still rather start Kelsey this week. I would.
Oh, yeah, but Andrews has been awesome.
He has, but that's one guy, and we need 12.
No, that's
of them.
The only guy.
And it's been absolutely brutal. And Disley was a guy that was filling that void off the waiver wire, no less. So Will Disley wasn't drafted in a lot of drafts, okay? And this was a good story and a good tight end, and I lost both of them at the same time, and I'm pissed about it. Number 9 on this list, Tyler Boyd is getting too much attention now. Teams finally realized, oh, wait, Tyler Boyd is good at football. We should probably throw everything in the house at him and just stop him. And 2 of the last 3 games, the target share has gone way down. Went from double digits 4 of the first 5 weeks to just double digits once in 2 of the last 3 weeks. So that is a problem. Now, granted, Auden Tate fans are very happy about this, but at the same time, Auden Tate also missed half of the balls that were thrown at him last week. That is an issue. So Tyler Boyd, I'm getting a little worried here about how it's going to look going forward. So maybe AJ Green comes back. And the last, and you're going to love this one. This is just for you, Craig Mish.
Okay.
Devin Singletary is a tease. He's got 10 carries on the year and 127 yards and a touchdown. And that sounds like a great game, but that wasn't a game. That was all he's done so far all year. And the problem is you look at that and you go, my goodness, potential. And this week he might be on the field against the Dolphins. It's trending that way. How much? I don't know. Craig Mish doesn't know. I know Craig Mish is done with this. So he's already given me the stink eye about even mentioning Devin Singletary on the show. But I really hope, because I really like the talent and I really want him to succeed. And I like that Buffalo team, that I hope that Singletary has a good second half, because I'm not ready to throw in the towel on him quite yet.
Yeah, no, he could. It's just Gore is always going to be there. And that's the problem, is he's not going away. And almost, I don't want to say almost, but we're getting close to the point that almost no matter what Singletary does the rest of the season, he did not provide the value that wherever you drafted him in fantasy. But I think next year he'll be a monster, no doubt. It's just Frank Gore hurts the running back that's with you. He did it in Miami. He did it this year, and he'll continue to do it if he keeps playing wherever he ends up. But I think Gore could be in line for a big game. And by the way, Gore will get the goal line carries too. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. That is 10 things that Joe hates about fantasy football. Here are some things that we love about fantasy: going and finding the old busts. We'll do that next. Don't go away.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players,
Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the Daily Roto NHL DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using Daily Roto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
It's no secret that our current healthcare system is broken. We're often taught to avoid the doctor unless we're already sick. This is where Forward comes in. Forward doctors deliver personalized insights to put you on the path to better health. And they're based right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Forward doctors actually spend time listening and getting to know you. Using real-time blood results and genetic analysis, they build a preventative plan with you to mitigate any health risk. And the best part? Forward doctors make it easy by guiding you through small changes to your lifestyle today to achieve long-term results. With the latest technology and tools, Forward's high-caliber team of doctors deliver cutting-edge preventative care. Whether it's finding the root cause of a new problem, managing a condition, or building a plan to achieve your wellness goals, at Forward, your healthiest self is just around the corner. Better yet, Forward doctors help you find exactly what your genes say about your health. It's time to listen to what your body is telling you. Go to GoForward.com today to get the insights you need to put you on the path to better health. That's GoForward.com.
I want people to think about the healthcare workers. You know, we can say, I'll take the risk. I'll get on a plane and go see my family for Thanksgiving because that's important to me. I'll take the risk. If I get sick, it'll be fine. The problem with that is that you don't have a choice if you're going to get sick or not. And maybe you won't get sick, but you don't have a choice as to who you'll infect. And we don't have a choice if they'll die or they'll live.
That's Fiona Tulip, a grieving daughter who lost her mother to COVID-19. Fiona wants to make sure her mother, a Latina frontline worker from Texas, is more than just a number scrolling on the news feed.
We've got to think about the people who are working and risking their lives to save our lives. And we have to remember that we don't have a choice into how this virus acts. We can't choose whether it infects us or infects someone else, and we can't choose if we stay alive or if we die.
I'm Justin Beck, founder and CEO of Contact World. Listen to Contact World, the podcast, on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
And welcome back. It is time to have a little fun in fantasy, go through some historical news and notes. Before we do that, let's give you some of the latest updates as far as fantasy. Sean McVay said that Todd Gurley is, quote, on a good pace to hopefully a good pace to hopefully play on Sunday. There's no clarity there whatsoever, so we'll have to keep an eye on that. Also keep an eye on Malcolm Brown in your fantasy leagues today too, for sure. Pro Football Talk reporting earlier today, Drew Brees getting toward probably after the bye, coming back for sure. Also, O.J. Howard, Rick Stroud reporting late last night that no interest in trading him. Not sure why they wouldn't if they're not going to use him. That trade deadline's coming up pretty soon. And Ian Rappaport reports that Kenyon Drake could be traded. That he has no value whatsoever. He's a free agent after the year. And the Dolphins should get a 7th-round pick or a 6th-round pick if they could. I don't think that this is a great player and has had issues with that team previously with different things off the field. So I'm going to say good luck with that. Okay.
He can help a couple teams. I'm just saying he could.
Please give me the teams he can help.
Let's see. He could help. He's got to help somebody, right? I'll tell you, he could help the Chiefs.
He could help a couple of teams. All of them? I don't know.
No, he could help a couple of teams. The Chiefs is one. I think he could help the Chiefs for sure.
Okay.
There's got to be one more. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I should probably just look at a list. That'd be easier, but no, I guess it's the Chiefs. He can help the Chiefs. So there you go. Chiefs, get on there. Go do it. Come on. I'm here for your amusement, Craig.
I'm trying to think of a team that could acquire him. Let's see. It would be...
It's the Chiefs. That's it. It's Kansas the Chiefs. City. Everybody else has too many running backs that are too similar.
How about the Lions, Joe?
No, I think you keep rolling with Carry On. I think things are
working. No, but as a backup, like as a change of pace type guy.
I don't think you want to give up a pick for that, even if it's a sixth round. I think you just keep rolling with what you have. I think the only other team that you can make a case for.
How about Chicago?
No, I don't think they're. I don't think they will. I don't think they're ready to throw in the towel. And look, let's see what happens when they come out of the bye. Let's see what happens, what their game plan is, because they've had some extra time to work on one. Let's see.
David Montgomery, 30 carries, 41 yards.
If the Washington Redskins are
of
not
course they'd be in a great
about
spot,
Geis,
but, no,
Kenyon
but
Drake would be
he's a free agent, a Joe. He's a free agent at the end of the year.
Right. But I'm saying it. Maybe you look at it and you go, maybe Geis isn't the guy. Maybe he's a guy that can't ever
But Drake is the free agent, so what would be the point?
I understand that, but maybe you bring him in. You say, hey, let's see what this guy's any good. And if he is, maybe you resign him. It's always easier to resign a guy.
Give
than
up
you
a pick
in.
For five games for a team that's going nowhere. It's very unlikely to happen.
Probably.
Is that the only? Or have we run?
No,
out
it's
of
really. I'm
there?
Looking around. You know, it's funny. Running back is that one thing. Like Kenyon Drake doesn't upgrade anybody except the
Chiefs.
No,
he doesn't.
But no. I think he upgrades the Chiefs. I do. I will stick my guns on that one.
Okay. All right. So Brock Osweiler ended up retiring. He was a Dolphin, believe it or not, a couple years ago. You remember that, Joe? When
I do.
When Tannehill was out for the year, you remember who they signed along with Brock Osweiler?
I don't, actually, off the top of my head.
The starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins 2 years ago for the first...
Oh, was it Jay Cutler?
That's right. There you go.
Oh, yeah. Jay Cutler. Yay. That's right. Jay Cutler.
Came out of retirement to be a Dolphin for a year.
Such a likable lad.
It did not go well.
It did not.
it did not go well for them. Okay, so I thought I'd be curious with Osweiler retiring to go through the biggest quarterback fantasy bust of all time. There's probably some qualifiers here as well because some were draft picks and some were players that were given big contracts. And so I kind of probably should have had him in two different categories, but we can kind of run through them here. I think universally, as far as draft picks are concerned, you would go with one or the other. You would either go with Leaf or Jamarcus Russell. Is that fair? As far as draft picks strictly are concerned.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is with Ryan Leaf, the talent was there. It was the head. Like it was just and he's, you know, kind of gotten right. I don't know if you read that open letter a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah. No, he's had a lot of issues and has gotten back.
Yeah. This is a guy that had a ton of issues and seems to have gotten right. And I think that's the most important thing. And I think that's the thing where, you know, with him, I don't think it was a matter of ability. I think teams were right about the ability. Some teams thought that they could get him to buy in and get him right mentally. And you couldn't do that. Whereas Jamarcus Russell, I don't know if you got that, like, necessarily. You might know better than I. You watch more college football. But was Jamarcus Russell necessarily that much better than everybody else in that class? I'd have to go back.
At LSU, yeah.
2007 class, right, I think?
Yeah, he was a stud. He was a monster at LSU, yeah. And then he just got real fat and was out of the league pretty quickly.
Yeah, that same draft class, not very good, by the way, in terms of quarterback. Brady Quinn, Kevin Cobb, Drew Stanton. So it wasn't exactly like you basically if you took a quarterback, you were wrong. You were just wrong no matter what you had. Trent Edwards.
And that's part of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Trent Edwards, yeah. Buffalo Bills. Remember him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Boy, the Bills went through some bad quarterbacks, too.
Oh, yeah. Oof, yeah. Definitely.
All right. Tim Couch has got to be on the list. This goes back pretty far here with another Brown. And then I think we got to throw Johnny Manziel in here as far as the Browns are concerned. First round pick, right? That just was a zero.
Another guy, talent, but questions about the size, questions about the head. You know, what's he doing now? He got booted out of the CFL, didn't he, I believe?
I think he's XFL, I think.
Oh, did he really? Is he in that group? I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Gosh. There you go. Now everybody's watching. You know, there's a guy that didn't make. There's two guys that come to mind for me that aren't on your list here. Mm-hmm. Also, because I think expectations and ironically, they played against each other, I think, in one of the great college football games of all time is Matt Leinart and Vince Young. Two guys that got so much publicity.
It's so interesting, this one for me. Leinart, 100%. Vince Young, to me, is an interesting one. He's called a bust by a lot of people. And I suppose his career, look, unequivocally, was a disappointment. But I don't know. Like, he did play 5 or 6 years. I thought he had a couple of good years in the NFL. Why am I not identifying him as a massive bust? I'm probably wrong. But for some reason, I looked at Vince Young as having a couple good years in the NFL. I know the numbers don't really add up to that, so I'm probably wrong. But man, like I remember him running all over the place and scoring touchdowns. Maybe I'm just totally off.
Well, looking at in terms of yardage and stuff like that, I mean, 2006 he threw for 2,000 yards and 13 games. In 2007 he threw for 2,500 yards. 12 touchdowns, 13 picks in his first year, 9 touchdowns, 17 picks
that's
in
terrible.
His second year.
Yeah, no, that's
so I think you can call him a bust because after that, he didn't do much of anything else.
Yeah.
So it was not good for Vince Young. And those are two guys that I think if you ask people in terms of the stock at the time off that game, too, I remember watching that game. Yeah. That was one of the greatest things I've ever watched in sports. It was hard to imagine that even if you thought Leinart had some issues or he was propped up by how good USC was, period, that you think, okay, well, he's still going to be a decent quarterback in the NFL.
I was
just
at
never
that
materialized.
Game. Yeah.
Oh, you were at that game live? Wow.
Yeah. I think that was here. Yeah. I think that was
in
Miami.
Oh, my gosh. I think you're right. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, and Vince Young, I mean, just with the athleticism, you think, oh, my God, this guy, he's so big.
Vince Young
so
at the end of that game was a monster. And if I'm not mistaken, this would require some research, but Vince Young's first NFL game that he came into, I feel it was that quarterback that he came in for that kept having those concussions.
Yes, it was.
I forget his name, but he always had those concussions. And
I will
and he
find would, it.
He also
it wasn't Mark Brunell, was it?
No, and he also was not known as being very nice and didn't want to help Vince Young or something, if I remember. And then he came in and just was amazing.
Let's see. So this is back in, let's see. Not Jace, before Jake Locker, it wasn't Hasselbeck. It was Kerry Collins?
No.
I'm no, seeing Vince Young and Kerry Collins. That's what I'm seeing here.
No,
the years that he was there.
He was a very serviceable quarterback. What year was this, Joe?
Let's see. Vince Young's first year was 2006, and Kerry Collins was the quarterback that came out. So it was Kerry Collins, Vince Young, and then a little later it was Vince Young. It was 4 years of Kerry Collins.
Was there a guy named Chandler of some kind?
Nope. Billy Volek was in there, but that was the year before. So 2006, Vince Young and Kerry Collins, the only two quarterbacks. 2007, Vince Young, Kerry Collins. 2008, Kerry Collins, Vince Young. 2009, Vince Young, Kerry Collins. This went on for a long time. I did not remember how long this went on. Even 2010.
I'm trying Vince to think Young, of a Kerry different. Collins. It's terrible that I can't.
Maybe it was later in Vince Young's career that he came in and had a run there.
I'm definitely thinking of Chris Chandler as the guy that was the quarterback that kept having.
I do remember Chris Chandler.
Yeah.
But where are the other teams that Vince Young played for? I can't remember now off the top of my head. So. Because I know we played somewhere else.
I need to check the 2005 Tennessee Titans just to be clear here and see who their quarterback was.
Well, I just told you. I just had the list.
No, it was before Vince Young then. Oh, no. Yeah. No, it still wasn't him. Okay. Yeah, so I'm just off. Him. Okay.
Maybe I would tell you.
All right. So this segment is not going well. Okay. So let's finish off this conversation. Matt Flynn, right, was given a big contract to do nothing.
Huge. Yeah, awesome. I mean, he could be him and Brock Osweiler should open up a B&B or something. Like, it just kind of hang out.
I feel like Charlie Whitehurst was given a lot of money to do nothing too.
Well, you can go down the road. I mean, Scott Mitchell was given a lot of money and he never performed.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was a good one. I remember because a couple games were filled in for Marino, right? And then they went to the Lions, and then everything just fell apart because it's the Lions. Tim Couch was a good one too. It's definitely one of those things where you look back on it over the years and you go, wow, that's
Josh Rosen. Is Josh Rosen just a bona fide bust at this point?
He's certainly in that conversation. It's funny, though. I mean, we're talking just quarterbacks, though, right?
Yes, that's it.
OK, yeah, just quarterbacks. I always put it along with the terms of expectations, too. Like, I mean, do we really have enormous expectations for Matt Flynn at the point where they drafted Johnny Manziel? Did everybody realize that this was a giant risk?
Oh, Johnny Manziel was a first round pick. Flynn was a free agent, if I'm not mistaken.
You know, as a kid, I remember a couple of them, too. I remember Todd Marinovich was a big one. Remember Todd Marinovich?
Of course.
With the Raiders.
Yeah.
You know, I think Brady Quinn was a guy that people had expectations for.
He first round pick.
Yeah.
Marinovich came in after Jeff Hostetler.
Oh, Sam Bradford. What about that guy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But the truth is that Bradford played a long time in the NFL. Like, he played for 10 years.
I'll say this. Bradford was on NFL teams for played is a funny word.
The other thing we also have to keep in mind is that Sam Bradford was the last quarterback to be able to get any amount of money that he wanted in the NFL. They completely changed the system where you get slotted and that was it. So you could pay anything to any player you wanted when Bradford was drafted. They changed the rules the year after that. And so now there's a maximum that you can pay under a rookie contract.
That's what happened. Todd Marinovich, boy, there's a name I haven't thought of in a long time. I remember having that football card going, that guy looks cool. And he thought the same thing, and that was it. No. Yeah, he's like, cool. I am cool. No, not cool at all.
All right. One quick note on baseball, Joe. The Angels hired Joe Maddon to manage their team, and they pair him with Mike Trout and Pujols, and they have a young kid named Joe Adell, who's the odds-on favorite to be Rookie of the Year next year. I'm going to throw a Vegas win total at you that doesn't exist, but this will be my estimation, and you tell me if you think they'll go over or under this. I could be wrong, by the way. This number could be different. 79.5 wins for the Angels next season.
I'll go over that. I thought you'd be much higher. Based on what?
based on the fact if you can get
a full season of Heaney, if Ohtani comes back and pitches well, that's two pitchers you didn't really have most of this past year. So I think right off the bat, that's something to think about. They also have the best player in Major League Baseball on their team. If they had,
but
Garrett
that has
Cole,
not amounted to anything.
Ever. No, it hasn't because they've wrapped up so much money in Albert Pujols, they haven't been able to surround him. And
well,
now
what's the difference this year?
None, except their willingness that they see the light at the end of the tunnel in the Pujols contract, and they realize that, hey, if we're in for a penny, in for a pound, maybe we got to go all in here and spend some more money and get Garrett Cole and make this rotation right.
Well, but I think Ohtani,
Ohtani and Heaney at the top of that rotation, I think, changes a lot of things. If you can get, you know, even 28 starts from both of them, that would be an improvement on last
Ohtani
year.
Sure. And neither guy's been able to stay healthy either.
No, it's a problem. Look, I think Joe Maddon also brings in a very, very positive vibe. I think it's something you need, especially kind of coming off last year too, which, by the way, all that stuff going around with the Angels and,
oh, horrible.
You know, yeah. I mean, there's a lot there to take in as a manager.
Yeah.
And it goes beyond baseball.
I'll say this. I mean, they won 72 games last year. For them to win 10 more games in 2020 is going to be a massive improvement. If that happens, it's unlikely, but they'll have to sign. I think if they come back with the same team, it's an under, but obviously if they sign Cole or somebody else, you can go.
Well, wouldn't Craig Mish say get in now in case they sign Cole and then all of a sudden it looks like a really
no,
good
because
wager?
You can throw your money away because if they don't, I don't think they have any chance. I think they can win a few more games, but a plus 10 in Major League Baseball.
Yeah. Their pipeline for pitching is not very good. Joe Adell is a nice young player for sure.
But what's the underlying also factor in all this too?
What?
They play in the Astros division, man.
Oh, yeah, you're right. But you know what? That's a big swing if Cole goes to the other side.
If
that happens, which I agree with you. I don't think that's going to happen. God forbid the Mets show up and pay somebody. That'd be
let's
nice.
Let's take a quick time out here on the show. We'll be back with Exit Velocity. Don't go away.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
When markets change, leaders must reinvent. We all know that's more important than ever. Sales Disruptors is a brand new podcast from Exactly, the global leader in helping businesses reinvent the way they manage sales. Join us for candid conversations with global business leaders on how to thrive no matter what the market throws at you. Sales Disruptors. Download today on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. What do we mean by sales disruptors? Well, it's today's business leaders sharing their experience on how they manage through change. Like,
so this is a great opportunity to sharpen your tools. In a down market where you're not making a lot of big changes, there's an opportunity to go back and clean up things that need attention. Everything has wear and tear, so there's a great opportunity to go back and get caught up.
Tune in to Sales Disruptors, an Exactly podcast on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
Welcome back. It is Fantasy Sports Today. And as always, we end the show here on a Thursday with a little Exit Velocity.
I feel the need for speed.
Ow! Exit Velocity.
Velocity. All right, we're going to end the show today with a discussion about do or die time in the NFL. And I think that it's safe to say that for three teams in the NFL, this is it this week. The Rams, the Chiefs, and the Dallas Cowboys. Those are the three teams. Why not the Eagles? Well, look, I mean, the Eagles are on the road here this week. So if they lose at Dallas, no one's going to be upset with them. But for Dallas this week, coming off those losses, it's a must win. For the Chiefs, coming off ugly 4 weeks of football, including losses in the last couple, must win this week. And for the Rams, that's the team that I'm most supremely concerned with just because of some of the play calling last week. So if you want to circle teams and actually not buy into silly narratives, those are teams that must win this week. And by the way, they must look better this week in the NFL. And if they don't, I think there's big trouble. We'll see what happens tonight when Kansas City is at Denver. That'll do it for the show. Thanks again to my co-host, Joe Pizzapia, and also our producer, Sean Guastamacchia. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon Eastern. I'll have Jamie Eisenberg from CBS Sports on the show and plenty more. Full-Time Fantasy is next. Have a great day, everybody. See ya.
These days, the hustle's nonstop. When you need to unwind, reach for a Coors Light. It's the only beer that's literally made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. You know it's time to chill when the mountains on the cans and bottles turn blue. Don't feel like running to the store? Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. So kick back with Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado encourages you to celebrate responsibly.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering five of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/bestbets.